SBS Radio.
Drage poslušalke in dragi poslušalci, poslušate slovensko oddajo na radio SBS širom Avstralije in po svetu. 20. oktobra letos je bila izredna skupščina v slovenskem društvu Planica v Melbourneu za vse finančne člane. Glavna tema je bila prihodnost društva. Na sestanku so se člani tudi strinjali z dejstvom, da je javno obveščanje o vsebini sestanka v korist širše slovenske skupnosti. Ob tej priložnosti smo povabili tajnika slovenskega društva Planica Roberta Pintarja, da nam zaupa, kaj je bilo takrat sklenjeno. Robert Pinter, welcome to the Slovenian program on SBS Radio.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Your first time here on air?
It is, actually. I don't think I've been on any radio station before, so it's always the first time.
And you're currently the secretary at the Slovenian Association Planica in Melbourne?
That's correct.
During my intro, I mentioned in Slovenian that there was a special general meeting held at Planica on the 20th of October this year to discuss the future of the association. Whilst the meeting was intended only for members of the club, those who were, of course, financial members, it was decided that it was in the public interest that the outcome of this meeting be put out there to the wider Slovenian community, to the wider community, hence why we've invited you onto the program. What was discussed there and what was the importance of this meeting? Well, especially considering that there is much discussion taking place about the future of the Slovenian community owing to the fact that the young people or the younger generations generally aren't getting involved in the running of the clubs and associations.
Exactly. And the main premise or the main reason for the special AGM is really just to sort of cement and determine, you know, what the future of Planica, you know, the association looks like when effectively there is no committee of management to basically operate. So obviously, as you indicated, you know, we're an aging population. Obviously, the vast majority of the foundation and Planica members are obviously getting on. And unfortunately, the younger generation haven't sort of followed suit. So obviously, it makes every bit of sense to really, you know, understand what, you know, whether it's in 1 year or whether it's in 15 years, you know, what is to be of Planica when there's no management committee to run. So that was really just to sort of give everybody, all the members, you know, some peace of mind and have their say on what they would like to happen to the club. So at least that way it's a uniform decision and people are aware and it's set in stone.
What was decided?
So on the meeting, we ran three or four options as per the members, what should happen or what should take place to Planica after there's no management. And there was a unanimous decision that the members all agreed to basically sell the club, the premises, the entire premises, and lease back the Hunters and Bocce Hall. So at least that way there was a complete sale of Planica to take place. And then obviously we'd just simply maintain a lease on the Hunters and Bocce facility. So obviously the members can still use those facilities, enjoy those facilities for different occasions.
So this isn't going to happen straight away. This is something that could happen down the track. It could happen in 6 months' time. It could happen in 10 years.
Exactly. Yeah, given, you know, unfortunately, as I said, you know, we've had some, you know, obviously a number of members pass on, which is very unfortunate. And I suppose it's just a good reminder to sort of protect the heritage and everything that Planica stands for. And to at least, I think it's just an opportune time to really now, let's put it in place, let's understand where the club stands and what the future looks like in the event, whether, as I said, whether it's in 6 months or 12 months or, for that matter, in 5 or 6 or 10 years. At least this way we know the direction, we've got a firm idea and we've all agreed.
It's a very contentious issue. It's a very sensitive issue, particularly owing to the fact that the first generation, through their blood, sweat and tears, built these clubs and associations, not only in Melbourne, but in all major Australian cities. And pretty much every single one of these clubs and associations are facing the same challenges as Planica. Hence why we decided to invite you onto our program to further explain the decision, because there's little doubt that other clubs and associations throughout the country are facing the same and similar challenges as Planica and will also be wondering what will be of their future. And also, we know within our communities, we do have respective, and let's be brutally honest here, a minority of tongue waggers who like to change stories to suit their own agenda or just simply make things up to make themselves feel better and important. Where misinformation is spread very quickly, it's probably a good idea that outcomes from such meetings, even though they weren't a public meeting, be made available to the public so the tongue waggers can then be shut up.
Absolutely. Well, it's an important point because, as you rightly mentioned, Lenti, you know, a lot of the members in question, you know, have poured an enormous amount of time, effort and resources into the club over such a long, long period of time. And, you know, it's important for those members to obviously have their say, understand and really put into place what they would like to have happen to the club. Now, as per other clubs, there's always options. I mean, there's not a raft of options. There's really potentially only three or four viable options on what can happen to a club. Some of the options that were tossed around were, for example, for Plinitz to be donated to a charity. Okay, that was one option.
Sorry, Robert, what you're meaning there is that the proceeds of the sale of Plinitz would then go to a nominated charity or charities. Is that what you were meaning?
Precisely. A non-for-profit or a charitable organisation, that's right. There was options of obviously, you know, potentially subdividing certain parts or parts of the club, which can be a very sort of, you know, drawn out and lengthy and costly process. But end of the day, you know, the decision that was made, and it was a very unanimous decision, come that time, the members agreed that Plinitz would be sold, and effectively they'd like to hang on to the Hunters and Bocce Hall, because it's got some great facilities in there. It is big enough, and there's a lot of things we can still do in there. And obviously that's what all members agreed upon.
Which would make also life easier for the members, because the group that they're leasing from would be responsible for the maintenance, for the overall maintenance, or depending what is set out in the contract.
Precisely. And effectively, you know, what a lot of members want, given the fact that time is of the essence, you know, we don't want a result which is a drawn-out process which takes years upon years. You know, this result not only makes the most sense in the eyes of the members, but it's a result that can happen fairly quickly, and hence the reason why it was, I think it was probably the right choice.
Robert, we're just wishing to emphasise here to all the listeners that Plinitz is not for sale. It's not being sold off immediately. That is not on the cards right at this present moment.
Exactly. And I think it's an important point to mention, but, you know, the whole emphasis and point of this meeting is to plan for the future of the club. Rather than holding this discussion or this meeting in 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years' time when we have potentially less members, it just gives people reassurance so they have their say. And as I said, whenever that time comes, hopefully it won't be for some time to come, hopefully years and years and years, but when it eventually does, we know where the future lies and we know what how Plinitz will sort of transpire.
Drage poslušalke in dragi poslušalci, pogovarjam se s tajnikom slovenskega društva Plinitz v Melbourneu, gospodom Robertom Pintarjem. Robert, as a second generation Australian Slovenian, and obviously you're very proud of your Slovenian background to be involved with an association such as Plinitz, why do you think the young people, when I say young people, we're talking second and third generation, and these young people, some of them are actually already in their 40s and 50s, born here in Australia, why aren't they interested?
Well, everyone's got their personal opinion on the matter. I mean, I think, in my opinion, one of the main reasons why this is the case, when the first generations came over from Slovenia, it was all very fresh. There was a lot of people coming into Australia at that time, and obviously they wanted something to, you know, establish something which, in the name of their home country, something where they can go to, meet, you know, and have functions and so forth, to really sort of carry through the tradition from Slovenia to Australia. Now, obviously, the second generations or generations coming through haven't been subject or exposed to the same situation, so they don't have the same connection. And I think that, in line with the overall values of today's generation, the priorities, their perspective is very, very different from those of the first generation Slovenians that came through. And I think that's probably the overarching or the main reason why they have such a vested interest, because it means so much to them, because it's something they created when they came over, where obviously they take ownership of it. They've got so much enriched and involved with the club, and it means so much to them, it's so deep-seated and deep-rooted, where the second generation were simply weren't exposed to any of those parameters. They just weren't exposed to that situation.
Perhaps there was an element of parents forcing the clubs and the churches and whatever onto their children, and in turn their children have just, you know, stuck their noses up and said, well, we don't need to be worried about this. So is it that element? Perhaps another element being that there generally wasn't so much encouragement for the second and third generations to get involved 20, 30 years ago, when a lot of the people now in their 30s and 40s were still closer to the Slovenian community, and now perhaps it's just too late.
I think that's a very, very safe assumption. As I said, I don't think there's ever going to be one particular reason. I mean, there may very well be four, five, six, seven varying contributing reasons on why obviously the second and third generations haven't come through in the way we'd have liked. But that is absolutely because, you know, through obligations through your parents as a child, through, you know, being children of that first generation Slovenian coming through, you were brought up in that, and obviously, but as you age, you know, family, lifestyle, everything, and the lifestyle, I suppose it just doesn't take preference, unfortunately, as it did for the first generation Slovenians coming through.
We can only wish Planica and all the other Slovenian clubs in Australia that they're able to carry on as long as possible.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, thinking about the future, thinking about obvious changes that need to take place. These issues have been discussed extensively on this very program on SBS Radio, and they're going to continue to be discussed, because without these associations, without these clubs and churches, it'll be very difficult for the community to exist. These clubs were created through blood, sweat and tears 40, 50 years ago, and for them just to collapse and die a very miserable death would be also a tragedy, particularly for our parents and their generation who worked so hard
Absolutely.
In building
that,
up.
Yeah, and that's probably one of the main reasons why I personally got involved, because, you know, I just look at my particular parents who have been extremely involved in the club for such a long period of time. I know what it means to them. I see personally how much work, how much thought, how much effort goes into the club and its upkeep and everything involving. And, you know, for me personally, I just saw it as an absolute obligation to throw my hat into the arena, so to speak, do what I can, assist where I can, because ultimately, you know, whether it's in 30, 40, 50 years, you know, the thought has crossed my mind where, you know, potentially there will be, you know, no established Slovenian associations anymore, but hopefully that's further down the track. But it's not a pleasant thought. I mean, it's a reality that we have to look at these things and protect it and hang on to it for as long as we possibly can.
Robert, thank you so much for coming onto our program today. We've really appreciated sharing your thoughts regarding the future of the Slovenian community, not to mention the outcome of this very important meeting, which took place on October the 20th this year at Planica. I can only assume other clubs and associations throughout Australia will be holding similar meetings, if not in the near future, over the next couple of years. And for Planica members to make the decision to come out publicly to state what they're going to do with their club is to be commended. So thank you for coming on to the Slovenian program today as a representative of the Slovenian Association Planica to speak with us about this, as I mentioned, very contentious and sensitive topic.
No, you're absolutely welcome, Lindsay. Thanks for having me on the program. And I'm glad I could give you my thoughts there. And I wish everyone all the very best and for everyone to contribute as best they can. And thanks again for your time.
Hear more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.